Next on Gospel of Life, find out about a Hollywood film about abortion. Hello, I'm Reverend Frank Pavone, Director of Gospel of Life Ministries. The most important moral issue and challenge of our day is abortion. And the message about life and protecting life is conveyed in the pulpits of America. It is conveyed in legislative assemblies, in research and documentation and educational efforts of all kinds. It is also conveyed in music, in art, and now in a provocative new film called A Distant Thunder. A message coming through in this film that makes people think and feel in new ways about the tragedy of abortion. We're going to show you a trailer about this film now, and then we're going to talk with the producer and writer and lead actress, A Distant Thunder.
Is that too bright? Is that better?
Yes.
Well, you know about Audrey Thompson and the Lavin case?
Audrey Thompson is a nurse at St. Andrews, was assisting Dr. Lavin when something evidently went wrong.
I want you to take it.
Why would I take it? It's not a murder case. In fact, I don't even think there is a case.
Just take a look.
We're here to find the truth and just what took place during what was supposed to be a routine procedure. And what, Audrey, what happened next?
That's when something happened that I'd never seen before.
Do you ever have nightmares? I mean, really terrible ones you can't seem to shake off?
You're Ann Brown, aren't you? You don't really want to take this case.
Are you threatening me?
No. No, it's just a warning.
It's getting closer.
And now I'm happy to introduce to you Jonathan Flora and Deborah Flora, who are with us today. Thank you both for being here.
Thanks for having us.
It's great to be here.
And thanks for this marvelous work, which now our viewers have gotten a slight taste of, but which, of course, we're not going to give away. But we do want to talk about it. Tell us, first of all, what your respective roles were in bringing this about and how it came about.
Well, I'm the writer and director of the movie, and Kip Perry produced it, and Deborah played the lead in it. And it really came about a few years ago when doctors were telling us that we could not have our own children. And so I was searching online, just studying statistics. So I was caught up in the contrast what we had as a society, that here my wife and I were on our knees praying and crying out to God for our own children, and yet we're aborting 4,000 babies a day simply because they're not wanted. And I say that with some regret as well, because I had done the same thing many years ago. But it was during this time that I stumbled across partial birth abortion, and that was just something I could not believe what I was reading, this horrific practice of late-term abortion and the method in which it's carried out. And I spoke to several of my friends, and of course I spoke to Deborah, and some people had heard of it, but they had no idea what it was, or some people just simply never heard of it. And this was before President Bush had signed the ban. And so the more I realized how little people knew about this, the more I just felt this real conviction in my heart that this was a story that had to be told, but it had to be told in a way different than other films have been done in the past. I did not want a documentary, agenda-driven piece. I wanted a compelling storyline that within that storyline, people will learn exactly what this procedure is.
And I
I always get to share the good news, by the way. The doctors were wrong, and we have two beautiful children. They're wonderful. And for me, what really launched me also into pro-life was we had an opportunity to see ultrasounds of our children from day 8 all the way up until delivery, and just the undeniable, amazing proof of their life from the moment of conception. Just it moved us out of complacency into having to do something about it.
Now, I'm sure many of our viewers, even right now, do not know what partial birth abortion is. And this, of course, is, despite the fact that it's been in the news for over 10 years, this is a procedure, as you well know, where the baby is literally partially delivered. And with part of the baby outside the mother and living, this child then is killed. And normally, the method being that the child is brought out feet first, and then scissors are inserted in the back of the child's neck, and that kills the child. Now, you are a producer with a major Hollywood studio, and I know that a lot of our people within the pro-life movement often think about this theme that, oh, only if there were some movies that would bring across a strong pro-life theme that would help people to think and to be informed about these issues, that would be such a blessing. And here now we have it in our hands. It's a 35-minute film. Was it difficult to do this, given the atmosphere of Hollywood?
Well, it has the challenges, and you can imagine, in just looking at the 5 top nominated films for Best Picture for the Academy Awards, this is certainly a subject matter that is in contrast and flowing upstream from what is typically coming out of Hollywood, which is pretty much a liberal message. But regardless, there are pro-life people out there, there are Christians out there, and so we ask people, don't abandon Hollywood. There are people out there, this is a mission field, and there are people out there really trying to do their best. It was simply a matter of continuing to pray and praying for the financing to come forward and getting this made. Once Kit Perry came on board to produce her, that really enabled us to get the elements and the factors that we needed to get this movie made.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting, whenever you take any kind of step of faith, it's amazing how God will meet you along the way. As Jonathan often says, this is a film that, well, people ask us, were we afraid to make it in Hollywood? And we were more afraid not to make it. We really felt God put on our hearts, if you're not willing to step forward and do this, how do you expect me to open doors for anything else? Because film is such a powerful medium, and you describe partial birth abortion. It's the most extreme, horrific example we can bring to the table. And in film, if we can get people to agree that this is wrong, we can get them to begin to question other things. So we just felt like we had to make this tool.
Now, as you said, this is not a documentary, and it's not a film in which someone is preaching against abortion directly. Tell us instead how the message is conveyed.
Well, again, the challenge was also having it be 35 minutes, and the reason we had done that originally was because we knew that we were going to be presenting it to certain people that they might only have a half hour to sit down and take a look at this. And also, we were hoping that it would be used, as Deborah said, it's a tool, so it would be in different schools and classrooms, et cetera. And it's really opening itself up to that kind of avenue. But the reason it needed to be, in my mind, when we go to movies, we go in there willing to surrender ourselves and open up to whatever this filmmaker wants to tell us. Whether it's a fantasy land or whatever, we will suspend that reality for us to accept what's going to take place in this story. And so that's what I've done with this. We really follow along this story of this attorney, which Deborah plays, as she's going through a lot of these visions that she doesn't really know if she's seeing things or going crazy or whatnot. But it's as she's preparing for a trial where a murder takes place during a medical procedure. Then I use a courtroom setting to describe what the medical procedure is, which is a partial birth abortion.
So a partial birth abortion is done legally, but then mm-hmm. something goes wrong.
Something goes wrong.
It. And that's what the trial is. The abortionist is on trial.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's correct.
Yeah. And so by it being from the testimony of a witness, now she can lay out exactly what a partial birth abortion is step by step. And also by having two combating attorneys, I can kind of argue both sides of the issue as well, so we can hear the arguments and rebuttals that go with it.
This is, I receive many videos and materials from people in the pro-life movement that say, you take a look at this, this is a powerful new tool, and so forth. And when I first got this and watched it, I said, this is really going to be make an impact for the movement, because and of course we can't give away the ending, but it has a surprise ending to it, something that, as you've already said, one is taken through a consideration of what this procedure is. One is given an opportunity to enter into the arguments. But the way that it ends and the surprise turn that it takes really enables people to enter into a lot of the experiences of abortion and look at it not just from a consideration of what it is, but what it does to our entire society, what it does to the mother, to the child, to everybody. You find that this has quite an impact on young audiences, especially, don't you?
That's really been the most gratifying thing, because they are the people that are struggling with it. And the young
yes.
people, we've been so thrilled to see how active they are about this issue, because they're survivors. One of three of them are not out there. And we also feel like we as filmmakers have the responsibility not just to make a project, but it has to be excellent, because young people are a very sophisticated audience, and they are a visual generation. They may not read books, they may not get in debates, they may not read a newspaper, but they will watch a movie and allow a story to impact them. And it's told in their language. And one of the most gratifying things we've been hearing is about how teenagers are watching it and then inviting all their friends over for impromptu mm-hmm. focus groups so they can discuss it. Because this issue people can't talk about, but if we can give them a tool that wrapped in a great story can start conversation, then we're doing our job. And we don't preach at people. This doesn't villainize anyone. It doesn't force answers down their throat. It really gets them to begin to question, which is how young people especially really respond. We're not preaching at them. We're allowing them to think it through themselves.
Well, we have a little clip about this film that we want to show now, a little segment of it. Tell us what it's going to show us.
Well, it's something we kind of touched on. This is when Deborah's character is questioning the nurse who witnessed this procedure. And during this section that we're going to see, she's actually describing what the steps of a partial birth abortion really is.
Okay, so we'll watch this clip now of A Distant Thunder.
Well, the procedure calls for the doctor, once all but the baby's head has been pulled from the mother, to take a pair of scissors and insert them into the base of the baby's skull and spread them to make a hole.
Objection. Your Honor, it is not necessary to have the witness provide such a graphic description
I'm
of the
sorry that the defense counsel finds the details of this procedure so disturbing, but Your Honor, we must first establish what the routine steps are for a partial birth abortion in order to show where this particular time things did not go according to plan.
Overruled.
Thank you, Your Honor. So, Audrey, you were saying that a pair of scissors is inserted into the base of the baby's skull to make a hole.
Yes, and then a catheter is inserted into the hole, and it sucks the baby's brain out, causing the skull to collapse. The dead baby is then removed.
That must be quite a sight.
No.
Excuse me, please speak up.
I said no, it isn't.
But this time, it was no ordinary procedure, was it?
No, it wasn't.
Well, this is certainly something that we want to encourage viewers to obtain and to watch the entire film. And we've been delighted to be able to promote this film and just help you distribute it through Gospel of Life Ministries and Priests for Life. We want to urge you, brothers and sisters, to contact us precisely for that purpose. Go to gospellife.com, and you will be able to see how you can order this film, A Distant Thunder. There is also a distantthunder.com website, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And we know a little bit about what led you to do this film. How did it impact the others who were involved in bringing it about?
Well, it's really interesting, because we'll never say that everybody on the cast and crew has to be a Christian or believe in what the story is being told. The story has to speak for itself.
Right.
And so that was our first real exposure as to some of the things to come, was hearing different members of the crew after reading the script going, yeah, but didn't you kind of embellish this or make this up? They couldn't believe also that this really took place in the way that it does. And so when we knew firsthand that it was already reaching and having a reaction with those people, that I think God was just giving us a little foretelling that it was going to reach even more. And one of the best testimonies we have is that you were talking earlier about it being very accepted by the youth. A local university in Los Angeles, the movie started getting passed around, and it ended up in the hands of a girl that was going to have an abortion. She watched it, made her boyfriend promise to watch it with her, and after it was over, they looked at each other and said, "We can't do this. Let's have this baby." And they just had a baby boy this past Valentine's Day. So it's showing that not only what we've done here, but anybody can make a difference in this area if they will just simply apply themselves and make a stand.
And it's interesting, too, because even the people working on the set who weren't pro-life were actually so gratified to be a part of something that had some kind of meaning and substance, because there's so many projects out there that even at best are mildly entertaining or diverting. And even when they may not have been aware of the subject or completely converted over to pro-life thinking, they were just excited to be a part of something that would have some legs. And we've had the opportunity to tell some of them that, for instance, recently A Distant Thunder was used in South Dakota. It was actually mentioned from the floor of the Senate there when they were debating the law that they just passed. So it's getting into places we never imagined possible. And for those of us in Hollywood, to have one project we're a part of that maybe has that impact is so gratifying.
You know, having an abortionist there on trial and then having the description of the procedure articulated in the courtroom reminds me of the movie Judgment at Nuremberg, and when those who were on trial for the atrocities of the Holocaust were made to sit there and watch some of the footage of these atrocities. The lights went back on in the courtroom after the clip was shown, and they just had their heads down in shame, like the abortionist does in this film. And the only thing that the defense could say was, "It is inappropriate that such graphic material be conveyed in this courtroom." Mm-hmm. They couldn't say we justify what happened. It is inappropriate to show it. And when partial birth abortion became a public debate in the United States and entered into the halls of Congress, and there were diagrams and there were descriptions, that's the same thing that was said by the supporters of abortion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we actually have that as one of the characters, the other attorney, Ned Vaughn, who does a wonderful job. He wants to stop the description just because he thinks it's so disturbing.
Yeah.
And that's what's interesting, is we can get people to look at this and realize that in our culture, where we want to save the whales, we also allow this sort of thing to happen. And we need to be made to look at that so we as a society can examine ourselves. And we had to find a creative way to get people to look at something they don't want to look at.
They don't want to look at. You know, the challenge is not converting people to believe that abortion is wrong. The challenge is getting that information in front of them in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Because the light of human conscience will see that something like this just is too wrong to permit.
Absolutely.
So, what can our viewers do to help get A Distant Thunder to its intended audience?
Well, as you mentioned, they can go to adistantthunder.com or the other websites that you had mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
But also, we're just simply trying to provide a tool because, we're not trying to tell people how to think, but we're trying to give them the information so they can think.
Yes.
And we've heard such positive feedback of being shown to different pro-life groups, shown to high school groups. There are various churches and parishes. That just simply going there and getting as many copies as they can, because it's not about selling the copies, it's about getting them in front of as many people as possible.
Right.
And if people who are viewing, if they have people they've not been able to get through to, give them this video. They're going to get drawn to a very interesting story. I believe that the production value is of such that they will take it seriously, and it has opened doors for many people to talk with a friend, a neighbor, a coworker, a family member that they couldn't talk to before. Mm-hmm. So whether it's in groups for youth, in your church, wherever, or just a person you know you want to give it to, this is a tool, and that's all we wanted to do, is provide a tool for people to use.
Well, Deborah and Jonathan, thank you very much for what you've done here and for the hope that you've brought to many people that, in fact, the kind of talents that you have can and are being used to promote the sanctity of life.
Well, thank you for all your support.
Absolutely. Thank you.
You're welcome. Brothers and sisters, visit us, gospeloflife.com. Read more about A Distant Thunder and carry this message forward so that as many people as possible will be drawn in to the drama and the reality that this film brings. Stay with us now for our action segment.
I want to be a fireman when I grow up.
I want to be a teacher. I want to be president of the United States. I want to find a cure for cancer.
The choice to have an abortion alters the course of the future. Please remember, where there's life, there's hope. A message from Priests for Life.
Some candidates for public office claim that the government should not be involved in abortion. But the government got too involved in abortion the day it removed protection from children in the womb. The first purpose of government is to protect the lives of its people. No one who deliberately fails to do that is worthy of public office. This is Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life.
When I found out I was pregnant, I thought I would lose my job.
My boyfriend told me to choose between him and the baby.
I was already struggling to care for one child, so I had an abortion.
I had trouble conceiving again.
I tried to commit suicide.
I started to have nightmares. You see, abortion didn't solve our problems.
It just created different ones.
That's why we are silent no more.
We found help in healing, and you can too. Call or go online today.
Welcome back to our action segment. Janet and I share in this part of the program some practical things that you can do, products and tools you can use to spread the pro-life cause. You'll see more and more young people involved in the right-to-life struggle across our country. And if you ask them why they fight abortion, they will say, "It could have been me." They're very much aware that Roe v. Wade in 1973 declared them to be non-persons because they were in their mother's wombs after that tragic and mistaken decision. Therefore, deathroe.com has been established. DeathROE.com. Roe versus Wade, causing the death of tens of millions of babies. We tape these programs from the studios of Life Dynamics, and Life Dynamics and Mark Crutcher, the president and founder, have set up this website as a place in the movement for these young survivors to come. To take ownership of their own efforts to advance the cause of life and to find resources from around the country. Janet, this is really taking off nicely now, isn't it?
Yes, it is, because, you know, first of all, the kids are all over the Internet anyway. I mean, that's just a natural thing. They're in chat rooms, they're talking. And on this particular website, there's several opportunities for them. First of all, they themselves can register as a survivor. There's a memorial wall. It's kind of like the Vietnam War Memorial in Washington, you know, with people who were killed in the Vietnam War put their names on a wall. Well, these kids, it's an Internet wall, and they could either put a little blurb about themselves, even post their picture up on the memorial wall. But then in addition, there's products, Death Row T-shirts. Then there's a survivor's bracelet, and it has their survivor's number is the date of the passing of Roe v. Wade. And there's other products up there for them. And then also, there's an opportunity to connect with other youth groups around the country that are pro-life youth groups. And so we want to ask church groups right now, do you have a youth group? Obviously, you're pro-life. You're not up there. Go up there and register, because this is a way for more kids to get involved in youth groups, in youth ministry, and as survivors of abortion, to really speak out of why they're pro-life.
You know, I have always said the youth are not the future of the pro-life movement. They are the present
That's
leaders
right.
now, because they're leading their peers. They're leading the rest of society, because they are the ones, because they were declared non-persons, who are now able to provide a voice in the movement where they're literally speaking for themselves. The fact is that they know they are a person today. They were a person yesterday. They were a person the day that they were born, and they were a person in the day before that, too, in the womb, all during their time in the womb. And this is what Death Row is about.
That's right. You know, especially like the T-shirts, a lot of these schools have in the spring Pro-Life T-Shirt Day. Well, maybe they'd like to get one of these new Death Row T-shirts to wear to school on Pro-Life T-Shirt Day, or wear it any day to school, for that matter, or go to a church outing or a picnic wearing that T-shirt. It really makes people think about the abortion issue. You know, they might be teaching lessons to the adults in their community who consider themselves somehow, quote, pro-choice still, If these kids are wearing that death row T-shirt, it's going to pose conversation. People will say, well, what's that about? Well, there you go. Now's the time to have a pro-life discussion by wearing that T-shirt.
The presence of deathrow.com is not only important as a place for these young survivors to go, but also for all the rest of us to go there, too, to understand what has been identified as abortion survivor syndrome, especially if we're interested or are involved in some way in the education of the young or pastors in churches, youth ministers, in understanding how we can minister to young people. If we're going to minister to or educate the young or lead them to Christ, we cannot ignore the impact of being an abortion survivor. It shifts the entire foundation of their understanding of life, of God, of family, of love. We see survivor syndrome in the anxiety and guilt that they feel for having survived, much like soldiers who come back from battle and have lost their friends in battle. So this is a phenomenon that cannot be ignored, and that's why we're promoting deathrow.com.
Yes. And again, go to that website and get involved, order the product. If you have young people in your own family, encourage them to visit the website. Once they do, they'll be hooked, and they'll be getting all their friends to go there also.
Thanks for all that you do, brothers and sisters, for the cause of life. Continue to join us on Gospel of Life. Tell your friends about our programs. And let's keep each other in prayer as we continue to fight abortion.
Happy birthday to you.
The decision to have an abortion not only affects that moment in your life.
Kristen Gordon.
It affects many precious moments to come.
I now pronounce you man and wife.
Please remember, where there's life, there's hope. A message from Priests for Life.
Some political candidates think abortion has nothing to do with their job. But legal abortion means the government decides which lives are worthy of protection and which aren't. Do we really want to elect people who think they have that kind of power over life and death? Think about it. This is Father Frank Pavone, Director of Priests for Life.
I was searching online, just studying statistics. I was caught up in the contrast what we had as a society, that here my wife and I were on our knees praying and crying out to God for our own children, and yet we're aborting 4,000 babies a day simply because they're not wanted.